Voices of Wisdom Bible Church, the church of a distinct Christian generation.
The topic remains is kingdom concept. We're going on the fourth leg. We have been emphasizing on the fact that power and glory are the major components of the kingdom of God, and that these two are great gifts of God to the church. These two are great gifts of God to the church. What does that suggest to you? To me, it means it's not the responsibility of the church to manufacture power and glory. It's not the responsibility of the church to manufacture power and glory. So, therefore, it's not correct for a Christian to go outside the kingdom to seek power. Am I talking to somebody? But much of that is happening today. Both power and glory are given to the church through the generosity of God's grace and mercy. So, the generosity of God's grace and mercy has made power and glory abundantly available in the church, the kingdom of God on earth. So, therefore, it's not the responsibility of the church. It's not the responsibility of the pastor. It's not the responsibility of the apostle. It's not part of the responsibility of the evangelist. Okay, to say, I want to do kingdom's work, therefore, let me help God out by go seeking power outside the kingdom. It's not allowed. It's an abomination. It's not acceptable. So, power and glory should naturally characterize the church. Power and glory should naturally characterize the church. So, power and glory, this is the way I see it. Power and glory are to the church what water is to the river. Okay, you get to the river and you find flowing water and you are surprised. Is that correct? So, what actually are you expecting to find in the river? What makes a river a river? Abundance of water. So, what makes river a river is what? The presence of abundance of water. Body of water is what we call a river. Okay? That filled a lowland. That filled what? A lowland. So, God is up there in the higher gradients. And from there flow power down to us in the church, the representative of God on earth. So, what water is to the river is what power and glory should be to the church. And God, in His generosity, has made that abundantly available to us. So, it's not the responsibility of the church, of any pastor, of any man of God to try to manufacture power and glory. So, it's nothing special to find water in the river. So, power and glory should be natural in the church, to be our common experience. May the Lord bring that era of revival into His church, whereby power and glory will be natural to us, will be our common experience in the name of Jesus. So, power and glory will become an issue in the church when we live in ignorance of our spiritual heritage. When we live in ignorance of our spiritual heritage, then power and glory become an issue. Then we begin to seek for signs and wonders instead of signs and wonders following us. After Jesus make that declaration, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to Him, and then He delivered the power to the church. The next thing that follows, especially the record we have in Mark, okay, is that these signs and wonders will follow them that believe. So, but power, signs, and wonders has become an issue today because, one, we live in ignorance of our spiritual heritage. We think the power outside the church is more spectacular simply because they are magical. Number two, power and glory becomes an issue when we stay disconnected from the kingdom. When we stay disconnected from the kingdom. So, power and glory will become an issue. So, what we should address is the issue of our relationship. What we should address is the issue of our knowledge of Christ. When we are rich in the knowledge of Christ and his finished work, nothing outside the kingdom will entice us. Nothing will make us think, okay, the grass is greener outside the kingdom. Am I talking to somebody? But when we stay in ignorance of Christ and his finished work on the cross of Calvary, then we are tempted to think that the grass is greener outside the kingdom. The kingdom of Christ is the kingdom of power. It's also a kingdom of glory. So don't let us stay away. Let us stay connected. Tell somebody, stay connected to Christ. Now, the principle of how the glory, we have emphasized power last week. Now, the principle of how the glory, okay, is manifested in the church can also be observed and learned in nature. You agree with me that it has been long established or discovered that the light from the moon is not manufactured by the moon. How many of you understand that simple, is it geography now? Okay? That the moon is not self-luminous. So, it's never the business of the moon, okay, to begin to struggle around, where do I get the light that I will throw on the earth? So, the same principle is applicable to the church. So, like the moon, it's not our business thinking where are we going to get the light. So, as long as we are properly positioned and we stay connected to Jesus, the light of the world, he will beam his light on us that will also make us the light of the world. So, it's our source. Are we together? So, the moon is not self-luminous. The moon is only positioned to reflect the light beam on it by the sun. So as long as we stay connected to Christ, he will, through us, shine his light to the world. So if we are well positioned in the kingdom, we will reflect God's glory. Now, when you look at the operations of God and the dealings of God with us in this church, without necessarily emphasizing miracle, are we not daily experiencing miracles? Why? Because we have gotten this understanding that it's not our business to manufacture the power. It's not our business to struggle for it. As long as we are well positioned in the kingdom, the power and its manifestation will be natural. So, when we begin to think and struggle and run around, seeking out for what is not lost, we are taking upon ourselves a burden that is not our own. So, anytime we are laboring to manufacture power and glory, we are taking upon ourselves the responsibility that is not our home. Instead of seeking power and glory, what we should do is that we should concentrate on our relationship with God. Rather than laboring to seek for power and glory, our responsibility is to concentrate on our relationship with God. And when we do that, God's power will rub on us. When we do that, we will display the splendor of God's glory. You know, we look at when Jesus sent out the disciples, at least on two occasions, to go ahead of him. When he did that, okay, you will notice that whereas he did not give them physical provision, he mentioned it at a point, said, when I sent you out two by two, you did not take a purse with you, and so on and so forth. So, he really did not send them out with physical provision. But he nevertheless gave them power. So why did he do that? He gave them power, which is the spiritual provision that can make all other required provision available. So they had a relationship with Jesus. Jesus sent them out. He didn't make physical provision available, but he made spiritual provision available. And that spiritual provision covers all. So he was still very correct when he said to them, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing will be added. So the audience he was giving that message to had experienced that. Oh, how I wish they connected with it. Oh, how I wish that they connect with it. So let's look at Luke chapter 9 from verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. They didn't plead for it. Actually, it is good to pray for power, but they didn't pray for it. So he was the one sending them out, and he knew that this is what they will need. He gave it to them. That's why I said power is made available to the church on the platform, on the merit of God's mercy and grace. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God. He gave them power to do what? To preach the kingdom of God. So it has a purpose. I just pray that we'll get the concept right in the name of Jesus. We are receiving the power today, and we are using it to do virtually everything except the primary purpose. And to heal the sick. And he said to them, take nothing for your journey. Neither staff, nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. So no provision for physical things. No provision for material things. But the power that he made available was sufficient. So long they put the power to use for the right purpose. To preach the kingdom. To minister to the people what physical things cannot handle. And that's why I always say that until the church begins to offer to the world what other institutions in the world cannot offer, the church will not regain back its original importance in the world. He said to them, take nothing for your journey, neither staff nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. Then in Luke 22, verse 35, when he was actually rounding up his ministry, he now brought the memory of this moment back to them. You know, they went and they returned and they gave testimony of the great and mighty works that the Lord did through them because they received the power. Now, when Jesus was now rounding up, he now said to them in verse 35 of Luke 22, and said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lack ye anything? And they said, nothing. So the reason we lack many things is because of the absence of the power of God. So we can pray and fast to receive power from God, but never to generate power that is self-made. So we pray to receive power. We don't pray to manufacture power. We don't pray to generate power. We pray to do what? To receive it. And that's why I said, you will receive power when the Holy Ghost will come upon you. So this is the understanding that those that are going diabolical to get power to do ministry are getting it wrong. You know, a lot of people are going outside the kingdom to get power to do God's work. It's wrong. The same thing applies to those that have to scheme to launder their image. They struggle to establish their presence, to make themselves known. So when you see them on the social media, it's not because they want to preach the kingdom of God, but because they want to show their face. When you see them preach on the radio, it's not because they want to communicate the gospel, but they want the world to know that they are also in ministry. When you see them on satellite television, okay, it's not because they actually have any message that God has given them to give to the world, but it's also because they also want to establish the presence of their own ministry and church on the satellite television. Are we together? They are like a man called Diotrephes in 3 John 1:9-10. They love to be seen to be everything and above everybody, because they have missed the understanding that what is called power and glory should be natural to the church. We are a city set upon the hill. Okay? So once we are correctly positioned where the light of Christ will beam to us, the world will see us. There's no struggling about it. There should be no pulling down another brother and trying to scheme another brother out so that you can also take the stage. John the Baptist exemplified that very correctly. He had every opportunity by heritage to have his ministry headquarters in the temple where everybody gravitates to. But he went into the wilderness. But yet in that wilderness, people were running to him there to meet him. Why? Because as water should be natural to the river, so should power and glory be natural to the church. If you have it, you have it. If you don't have it, if you fake it, you will mess up. Are we together? 3 John 1. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them. He wanted to be everything, okay, and above everybody. So, the elder John wrote, but this man called Deutrophe, who loved to be prominent among the people, who loved to throw himself around, did not receive the message. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words. So he thought the way he can be accepted and be recognized is to be pulling down others with malicious speeches. And not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbidden them that would, and casted them out of the church. Okay, all he specializes in doing is pushing other people out of ministry so that he can be seen as the only person that is doing the work. But we don't need all of that if we actually understand the power and the glory concept of the church. So it is God that gives power and glory to the citizens of his kingdom. But if we do that in appropriate measure, in appropriate words, measure. So like I said, and I emphasize again, essentially, it's not our responsibility to manufacture power. We are only expected to make judicious use of it. When he gave them power, they went and used it to preach the kingdom. So our responsibility is when we have the power, let's exercise it to preach Christ. Let's exercise it to bring solution to the situations around us. Heal the sick. Feed the hungry. Pull out the oppressed from oppression. Hallelujah. So, and when we have glory, one other thing we need to do is to take it as a responsibility to protect it. Let's take it as a responsibility to do what? To protect it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's use all our energy, all the power that we have gotten to preach the gospel. And when we are sweating, okay, God will raise another brother. He will raise another sister. He will give us a towel. And then we clean our sweat. That's how it should be. In the name of Jesus. So essentially, it's not our responsibility to manufacture power. We are only expected to make a judicious use of it. Same goes for glory. When we have it, let's make good use of it. And let's protect it. Now, basic facts about the church and the glory of God. Basic facts about the church and the glory of God. Glory is a legitimate inheritance of the church from the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory is a legitimate inheritance of the church given to her by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why I said glory and power become an issue in the church when we live in ignorance of our spiritual heritage. John 17:22. And the glory which thou givest me, this is Jesus speaking here, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Hello? This is another very serious issue. It means whatever level of power we have now, whatever level of glory we exhibit now, we can still increase. We can still improve. We can still go higher. Because when Jesus was making a delivery of it, what he said was that just as he himself and the Father are one, we can also come to their level. Hello? He said, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, O scale, nothing diminished from it, that they may be one, even as we are one. So, not only that, is a legitimate inheritance. We are also destined for ever increasing glory. The church is destined for ever increasing glory. We are not meant to stagnate at one level. Haggai 2:9. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. So, where we understand the concept of God's glory properly, you will also see unity in the body. Jesus said, the glory you have given me, I gave them. So that just as I and you are one, they also can be one. Then we step okay, into the shadow that we have in the Old Testament. Haggai 2:9 said, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give what? Peace. Because where there is unity, there will be what? Peace. However, we are living in the days that bad elements among us, some who are going outside the kingdom to get power, some through their immoral behavior are making the church more and more popular for the wrong reasons. We are making the church more and more popular for the wrong reason because we didn't get the concept of God's power and glory correctly. Not only that, these are the days the church appear most perplexed. In other words, helpless against our many challenges and the challenges of our society. The society is a mess in deep problem. And it appears as if the church is not in the world. Hello? As if the light is not in the world. We only talk about the problems at our meetings and on the social media space. And the fact remains that we are not anywhere near the solution. So if we are going to begin to provide the solution, then we should go and learn again the concept of God's kingdom, His glory, and His power. Today, church appear molested and dejected, and we are in urgent need of restoration of power as of old. A restoration that will take us to a new realm of glory. So, the foundational scripture that battered this message, therefore say, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and power, and the glory, forever and ever. So, God's power is a forever power. The church needs to understand that again. God's power is a forever power. It's not a momentary power. It's not a dispensational power. It is not expected that the only story of power the church will be telling will only be the story of the apostolic days. It's not correct that the only story and testimony of power and of revival that the church will be telling will only be the story of the Azusa Street revival. It's not correct that the only story of power and of revival that the church will be telling is only the story of the 1930 eras of Orimalade, Babalola, and the likes in Nigeria. It's not correct that the only era of power, of story that we're going to be telling is going to be the story and the testimony of the 70s and the 80s that our current father and contemporary fathers are telling us. God's power is a forever power, always available and ever relevant. The devil has not created any problem that is bigger than the power of God to resolve. Am I talking to somebody? To us, it may be complex. To God, the simplicity of the gospel can disgrace any problem manufactured by the devil. So God's power is a forever power. It's not dispensational power. It cannot fade away with the exit of the first century apostles. It has not faded away with the exit of the Orimalades and the Babalolas. Hello? God will still keep the Kumuyis and the Adeboye for a very long time, but it will not fade away with them. It has to be on a higher, hyper dimension in your generation. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
You will walk in prophecy. You will fulfill positive prophecy.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus. But you need to know that this God's glory is also available to us in greater degrees in accordance with our level of relationship with Him and the measure of grace and mercy that we enjoy. So it's available to us in greater degrees. 1 Corinthians 15:41. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars. For one star different from another star in glory. So you manifest glory in accordance with your responsibility on earth. And don't forget that when we look at the concept of power too, we also look at it from various dimensions in which power is relevant. So why should you therefore desire glory of God? And why should you protect it when you receive it? Well, glory is to a man's destiny what garment is to a man's body. So spiritually, if you lack glory, you are a naked person. You are vulnerable. Ẹni tí ò rí ògo lò, ó dàbí ẹni tó ń rìn ní hóhò. So iṣẹ́ tí a sọ ń ṣe lára, òun ni ògo ń ṣe lórí àyànmọ́. I pray the Lord will cover your destiny with glory. Your destiny will not be barren of glory. So glory is to a man's destiny what garment is to a man's body. It's also what adornment is to a woman's body. So without glory, man is naked. Without glory, man is vulnerable and wretched. So when you possess God's glory, your nakedness is covered and your weaknesses are not seen. Hello? So when you possess God's glory, your nakedness is covered and your natural weaknesses are not what? Are not seen. And it's the reason people, you will call them physically challenged. Okay? They will take up responsibility of the ministry and they will do it far better in a surpassing manner than able-bodied people. Why? The glory of God. Hello? The reason about that day with his challenge will shake his generation is because of the glory of God. So when you possess God's glory, your nakedness is covered and your weaknesses, natural weaknesses, are not seen. So a man without glory is without honor. So rather than, you know, be begging around, okay, for honor, earn it by receiving the glory of God upon your life. Adam and Eve lost glory and their nakedness became obvious. You know, when God put Adam and Eve in the garden, okay, naturally they were naked. But it was never an issue until they sinned. So the way to protect God's glory is to stay away from sin. And then Apostle Paul, writing in Romans 3:23, summarizes the entire Genesis chapter 3, where the story of the fall of man was written. He said, "For all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God." So he summarized the fall of man as coming short of the glory of God. So he captured it very accurately by stating that the whole issue of the fall of man is about coming short of the glory of God. The consequence, okay? Somebody may say sickness has entered the world and death has entered the world. The ultimate of them all is that man came short of the glory of God. So long the glory of God has not been tampered with in any way, death, they are not coming. Sickness, they are not coming. Are we together? Depravity, they are not coming. But when man came short of the glory of God by sin, every other messy thing took the center stage. So to come short means to miss. So man missed the glory of God. To come short means to lose, which means man lost the glory of God. To come short means to be disqualified. Therefore, man became disqualified from every other spiritual inheritance. And what did Jesus come to do? Jesus came to restore man back to glory. So the summary of Jesus' earthly ministry, okay, is about the kingdom of God. And when he brings us to his kingdom, he releases back to us power and glory. So it is said of him that in his glory, that is Jesus, he was full of grace and truth. And this grace and truth, okay, they are the requirements for the restoration of glory back to man. First, this glory and power, we merit them by grace and mercy. Anything inheritance, okay, you don't work for it. So we get it by grace and mercy. So when Jesus came in the fullness of his glory, okay, he came fully loaded with grace. Now, it is abundant, but yet, if we are ignorant, we may not obtain. Therefore, he was going on about teaching the truth of the kingdom. So the root of restoration back to power and glory is through grace and truth. Somebody say grace and truth. So he gave us grace to restore us to glory. So when you come to Christ, you must not stop at the grace level. You have to move on to the glory level. Tell somebody, move on to the glory level. So the reason many of us are still barren of power, bereft of power, is simply because we stay at the grace level. We have not moved to the glory level. Tell somebody, I'm moving to the glory level. In John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh. This is Jesus now. The Word that was with God from the beginning. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Full of what? Grace and truth. And that's why I said, grace and truth is the route to restoration back to power and to glory. So grace is the number one qualification to walk in glory. Number two qualification is commitment to the truth of the gospel. And 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. Remember, wherein he said, the power or the glory that God has given to him, he has also given to us. So that just as he and the Father are one, we also can become one. So Apostle Paul said, as we stay in close proximity and connected to him with full understanding of our spiritual inheritance, and we are beholding him and not looking at other things and not going outside of him to seek power and glory, we stay on him, the author and the finisher of our faith. As we do that, he said, we are changed, not into a counterfeit, not into something inferior, not into something near in quality, but we are changed into the same image. Now, what a great privilege. What a great latitude. A room for spiritual improvement. A room for spiritual growth. Are we together? So, if this testimony of your Christian life has been a stagnant one, you have not been maximizing the grace that's available to you. No wonder Apostle Paul will say that I may know him. His life ambition is to know him more so that he can become more like him. So our highest vocation, our topmost priority is to become like him, growing into the full stature of Christ. He said we are changed into the same image, not into a similar image. Is somebody hearing me? What a privilege that we have left untapped into. We are changed not into a similar image, but we are changed into the same image. From glory to... So if you express one level of glory today, by tomorrow you will discover that there's still a higher level of glory. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, what are the reasons you are not operating your desired level of glory? You may be hindered by sin or Satan. Because by sin, we come short of the glory of God. By Satan, because he's envious of you. So he will keep you ignorant and inspire you to begin to misbehave against the covenant, to make you to stay in the kingdom. So stop yielding to the devil. Number two, maybe you are not demonstrating enough commitment to the truth of God's word. If you are not demonstrating enough commitment to the truth of God's word, it is as we behold him that we are changed from one form of glory to another glory. Number three, maybe you allow yourself to be distracted from looking unto him. And maybe because of divine timing. Because of what? Divine timing. So if God has decided that you should stay at a level, stay on that level until his work is fully done in you, and then you'll blossom. Praise the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you for this much you have helped us again today. I ask, O Lord, that the understanding you have given us will become outstanding by it. We will walk in the light of your word, and as water is natural to the river, so will power and glory be natural to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah.
We believe you'll be blessed by the ministry of this message. You will do well to be the doer of all you've heard. For further inquiry and spiritual help, contact this number 080-3568-4000. 5882 or worship with us at Oasis of Wisdom Bible Church, adjacent University of Ilorin Teaching Hospital, Okeosi, Ilorin. God bless you.